B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How much baseball you talk yesterday?
We did a little bit of Mookie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How much? In minutes.
20 minutes.
You being generous?
Shaughnessy's eyes perked up. Oh, we've been down there 6 weeks. Finally got something. Now this comes up.
I know. Finally.
This is big. This is big.
That's what he said?
Yep. This is big.
You said that on the air?
Yeah.
So everyone saw it. Good. I think it is big. Mookie Betts. Here's what he had to say yesterday when he met with the media in Fort Myers. News from the fort. This following the news of the $430 million contract, or $426 million contract for Mike Trout. Here's what he had to say about his future and that kind of money.
You know, I love the front office. They've done a great job with everything and putting a great team together.
You talk about the arbitration stuff, or...
With everything. I mean, you know, there's been a couple of disagreements, and then we agreed this year. And so, yeah. Just with the talks and all type of things, it's negotiations, and that's it's just part of it.
There was a report yesterday that you had been made an offer last year. Were you made an offer last year?
Yeah, I made an offer last year, and like I said, that was just a disagreement, which is, you know, perfectly fine.
Yeah. Are you open to the idea of continuing the dialogue?
I mean, you know, why not? You know, I don't think shouldn't definitely keep your ears open and see what's said. But that doesn't mean you necessarily have to agree on or take whatever is given. So, you know, like I said, I love it here. And you know, I think this is a great place to be, spend your career here. But it doesn't mean... sell yourself short.
But there's nothing in your mind or your agent's mind where you need to say, okay, as of this date, we're not going to talk to you anymore. You're open to whatever they want.
I like him even more today than I did a day ago, and I didn't think that was possible. Damn, he's smart. He played... that right there is a lesson in how you handle a contract situation. Right there. That was a clinic for everybody else. In all of sports, that was brilliance by Mookie Betts. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, it tells me they're in trouble. I hold all the cards. I know how good I am.
He does.
I'm young.
He does. Right now he does.
Contract offer.
He may not in a year.
There's a disagreement. $25 million a year is a disagreement to me.
They offered him reportedly $8,200 a year ago.
And that's not an insult. That's not an insult at all. That's a good first offer by them.
Is it?
Yeah.
1 year later, he's now worth double that.
Yeah. Well, the next year.
And I'm not talking about on an average. I'm talking about guaranteed total value of deal. He's now worth $400 million.
Yeah.
So was a $200 million offer a good offer? I think it might be a good point to start the conversation. And I will factor in, though, that it was before he had an MVP season, which is one more season in his career, which furthers his track record and further establishes his track record as a top player in the sport. So, yeah, okay, I could see it. It's a good starting point, but do the Red Sox have real expectations of him agreeing to that deal or jumping at that opportunity? Because I envision it as the Red Sox last year made that deal, and they sat around the table and said, what offer are we going to offer Mookie Betts that he's going to say, yep, he's going to take it, and we're going to get the guy right now. I bet they offered that $200 million thinking they were going to get a deal. As in getting a deal done, not a deal as in a discount.
So they went to Trout, what, after his third year, he got six for, what, 145? And you look at the way Mike Trout is viewed, and obviously the contract he got, now that was a while ago, but Mookie after 3 years is eight for 200.
So
you can say it's more guaranteed, but it's almost $50 million more guaranteed than Trout got offered after his first 3 years. but you're in the ballpark, you know? What do you want? What would you pay him here? What's the drop? What's the drop dead price for them? Meaning the Red Sox. I think you have to go to 30, 32.
Per year?
Yeah.
No, it's going to be 35 now. $35 million a year. Should they do it? Yes, they should. But that's the kind of money that it's going to take. If they can offer him $400 million, and I say that not as in that's what he's going to get. No, they actually have to do that now, Zoe. They have to go to him right now. And he said, by the way, this has been sort of played up over the last day.
Sounds like
that he's going to free agency no matter what.
Right.
That isn't what he said.
No, it sounded like phone's open. Like, I'm here to talk. I like them. They like me.
Right.
No, we'll talk.
And that part about disagreement, it sounds like there was disagreement over what he was going to get paid this year.
Probably.
It sounds like they had to work their way up to that $20 million
a
year.
20 from arbitration, 20? Right, he's making 20 ish.
Yeah, 20.
Yeah.
But that was agreed to. They avoided arbitration. That's not through arbitration.
Oh, okay.
He's arbitration
That's
eligible.
Right. That's right.
And they agreed on the $20 million. What was their offer before they got to $20 million? It sounds like he had to talk them up to the $20 million.
Probably 12.
I would give you 15. How about no? And I'm just throwing that out there. I have no idea what the number was. So to go back to what they should do, they should pick up the phone right now and say, Mookie, 12 and 400, you want it? You want to do a deal? This is what we're offering now.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
The offer
you want to do a 12-year deal.
The offer is double what it was a year ago. Don't you have to do that?
I know you have to. I hate you these long-term deals. I hate them.
Doesn't matter. That's what he's going to get.
I know.
If you want to keep him, you've got to pay it.
Jesus.
It really isn't about it. At some point, you've got to say, do you want the player or not? Not do you want the player on a deal.
Yeah.
This guy is so good that it shouldn't be about, well, I'll keep him, but only if it's at this price. No, do you want him or not? Because it's going to cost you if you want him. That's been made abundantly clear. So that's why I think you go into it and you say 12 or 11 at 400, right? So what's at 12? It comes out to like 33.5 million or something, right? It's right in that range.
Yeah.
33 and a third. So do that.
Well,
see what happens then?
Yeah, because I said, you know, 30, 32, and you're there. Yeah, you're in the
you're
ballpark.
Between 33, 35.
10 years from now, what the hell is that going to look like when you start talking contracts of the most popular players in the game?
It's going to be a lot more affordable in 10 years. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
It usually is.
I remember sitting there when you saw Pedroia's contract first come through. You're like, what are you out of
So here's why. In a vacuum, you say to yourself, hey, we're going to pay the guy no matter what, so we're not worried about losing him, so we're just going to plan on paying him. Well, you can't plan on that because that's in a vacuum. That doesn't take into account, what if Mookie Betts, you know, he says he loves Boston, but what if Mookie Betts decides he does want to go somewhere else? Well, then what? You've, what, let Xander Bogaerts walk?
Yeah.
You've let, right? I mean, there's other guys here and other considerations on this team and other money that you could be spending in the meantime. And Xander Bogaerts, I think, is one of those considerations, and Chris Sale might be to a lesser degree, and you've got to sort of plan out where your money is going to be spent over the next 3, 4, 5 years. So they got to go to him now. They got to offer him a huge deal. I would offer him, I'd start, say, 12 and 400 and see what his reaction is. See what his reaction is. And if his reaction to that is the same as it was at 8 and 200, do you know what you got to do?
Bye. Walk, trade.
You got to put him on the market.
Trade him. Yeah,
you got to trade him.
We had those calls too yesterday.
I mean,
if it gets out of control, trade him.
But if you don't do it now, you don't say, oh, based on his comments, we're going to trade him. No, no, no. Put a real offer to him first. Put a real offer out there and see what reaction you get.
You think 8 for 200 was a real offer? No, I mean, I know they offered it, but
no.
Think,
no, because I don't think he would have agreed to that. It would have been more than that. No, you got to go big time. I mean, listen, 8 and 200, that was a year ago. That was not, I mean, he's making $20 million now.
Yeah.
And he's still in his arbitration years. So is 25 that big of an upgrade for the next 8 years?
No.
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 So.
No, not for that type of play.
No, it's not. And he sort of bet on himself, and he's going to continue to bet on himself, but pay him the kind of money that you would assume you'd pay if the bet works out and see what the reaction is. And if you get that same reaction, then you know. You've got a big risk in losing him, and you can't let him walk and not get anything in return. He's too good, which sucks because this team should never lose out because of money. But if they know that they got to sign Xander Bogaerts to a big deal, they're going to let him walk in anticipation of keeping Mookie?
Right.
Well, then what are you going to do?
You can't do this post-Lester, too. Like, you looked awful during the Lester negotiation and how insulted he was. You can't do that for
and
one of the premier players.
Putting him on the market a year from now, his value is diminished.
Yeah.
You got to do it now, which
your back's up against it a little bit.
Yeah. Man, I would hate to see that. So offer him real money, Boston. Offer him real money. Make a real offer. Call up the agent. Offer him $400 million, double what you gave him a year
ago. He's not a Boris guy, which is good.
I don't think it matters at this point.
But still.
I really don't. I don't think it matters. Offer him the real money. You can't just treat this like it's in a vacuum. It's not. There's other contracts that could depend on whether or not you decide to pay him. And I don't think that he said yesterday that he's definitely going to free agency. He said he would continue to listen. He's not saying I'm not talking.
This is the greatest thing that their union has. They have the best union in sports. They know it. They have to do these type of contracts. You're not going to take less to stay because they know that for the guys that come after them, baseball players get it from this sense. You know, the way our union's structured and these salaries and the way they're set, we just got to keep driving up the price points. And he'd like to be a part of it for the guys that play the game after him. You know, I think that's important to him, too. He understands that.
Do you think that if he plays out the next 2 years, plays him at the level that he's played to this point in his career, do you think he's going to get more or less than what Mike Trout got this week?
Wait a minute. Rephrase. Give me the beginning.
He's going to continue to play like this for two more years.
Two more years.
MVP caliber seasons.
More than Trout.
He's going to get more money.
Yeah.
I hope people understand that.
Yeah.
2 years from now, he'll make more money than Trout, not because he's necessarily the better player.
Right.
It's because now 2 more years have passed.
Right.
The one variable in all of this is that CBA and whether or not something changes in that CBA that changes the length of contracts.
Yep. If you can't do the 10 or the 12-year deals,
all
you're going
to
knock them down around 6.
To a 7 or 8-year deal, who knows?
I can see that happening.
Right?
I think these 10 and 12-year deals are ridiculous. I do. I think it's silly to think, you know, you're paying for this type of player and to be on the hook for the exact same amount of money 8 years from now, having no clue what this player is going
to
look like.
All right, let's get back to your calls.
You
got to
be able to protect teams a little bit.
Mookie Betts, we'll continue talking about that. Celtics calls, I see you on the board. The latest on the Robert Kraft situation. We'll get to all of this coming up. We are live from Apex Entertainment in Marlboro today.
What's his name, Richie?
What have we named?
Hardy, what'd you name him?
The gerbil.
Richie.
Or the hamster.
Richie. What'd you do, Richie?
We're here with Richie. Come see us.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Couple of gutter balls. We settled down there.
Sure it is.
Settled down. Zolak and Bertrand, 1120 from Apex Entertainment Center, 617-779-0985.
It's good to be on location. Got my main man, George, one of my former interns.
Zoe loves it here, by the way.
The man of the people.
This is just one of your favorite spots. They give you toys.
George, how much you weigh now? 111 pounds? 111, Hardy. 111 pounds. Jeez. Come here. Hurry up real quick.
No, let's get to some of these calls.
Hold on. Say hi to my man, George. I am as big as George sitting down as George standing up. There you go. Say hi to the people. That's right. All right.
John in Worcester. Hey, John.
Johnny.
Okay, we'll go back to him. Alan in Florida. Oh, I got an echo there. Alan in Florida, Mookie Betts. Hey, Alan.
Hey, guys. I've been good, and the only one who would ever twist this is the one yo-yo who's on vacation and the other yes man. They twist this all around that Mookie Betts wanted to leave, you know, anybody who listens to them and believes any of that baloney. What I'm trying to say is you guys are making a good point. Yeah, I would go after him right now because in 2 years he's going to get a lot more. The Boston Red Sox, Zoe said it, they learned their lesson with Lester. They are absolutely, positively, whatever it's going to take, in my opinion, they're going to sign him, and they're going to have to sign him. And there's a, you know, I just want to show you the difference. I don't want to go all around the board, but there's a quite a difference between a class act, a smart guy, like Mookie Betts, that really, really, really needs to be signed and play his career in Boston, against a piece of garbage like a guy that's playing for the Celtics who should go out of town in a bus and never come back. I mean, what a difference between the two.
Who are you talking about?
You're talking about Smart from last night?
No, I'm talking about Kyrie Irving.
Oh, Kyrie Irving. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, compare him in a class act like Mookie Betts. I mean, you know, baseball is what it is. They not only did, like I think Zoe said, the strongest union of sports. They have the strongest union in the country.
There you
and,
go.
You know.
I'm jealous of it. Jealous of the union. Yep. Yeah. Our union stunk when I played, and it still stinks. Here's the one thing we talk about with bringing these athletes in. You even go back to, whether it was David Price at the beginning or Carl Crawford. Whoa, great player, five-tool player, great pitcher. Can he pitch in Boston? Can he play in Boston? Crawford couldn't play here.
Have you ever
seen? That's his proof. Yeah. He can play here.
Have you ever seen
at a high level? Like, you so scrutinized. It's got to be hell to play here because we talk about every single move, every single thing you do. You're under the microscope. That's already ingrained. You've got that. You don't have to worry about bringing a high-priced guy in and worrying about him flubbing.
Mookie Betts is so remarkable that yesterday
he doesn't sweat.
He said that I'm worth a lot of money. In fact, and this is me translating. This is not how he said it. He basically made the case that he's worth over $400 million, right?
Right.
Right? He puts himself in that class, as he should. He absolutely should.
Yeah, because 8 for $200 was not good enough. You know what that guy got.
He says that, and everyone goes, yeah, you're damn right you are. I mean, when does that ever happen? When does a guy say it with such grace and say it? I mean, again, I thought that was just masterful how he handled the situation yesterday following the news of Trout's contract. And everyone goes, yeah, you are.
Do you think...
And you didn't say anything bad about the team?
No.
And you didn't get upset?
But you think the Red Sox are glad that he said, yeah, they did offer me a contract? Yeah,
That was reported. That was widely reported.
But
I don't think that's a surprise.
Okay.
He didn't sit there and tell you all the details. He said, yeah, they did. But, you know, we disagreed on it. Obviously, if they agreed, they would have signed a deal. So, I just think, if you're the Red Sox, come on. Pony up and do something right now. Try and get that done. It would make everything easier for them. They would. If they gave him the same money that they gave Mike Trout out in Anaheim right now, they'd still be getting a deal, because in 2 years, he's going to be worth more than that. And that's what I keep going back to.
Yeah, you're looking into the future.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's going to be worth more than what Mike Trout got. So get close. At least get close to Mike Trout. You want a $400 million deal, we're going to give you a $400 million deal. Yeah. You want it? And if he reacts to that saying, no, free agency, well, then you got to start thinking about everything else.
Yeah. 2 years ago, you could have talked extensions with Trey Flowers, but now you didn't do it. You let him hit free agency. And what do? You go get your money. If you let Betts hit free agency,
he will
get his money.
Start negotiating in good faith, Red Sox.
Yeah.
Dave Dombrowski. And really, not even Dombrowski. This isn't a Dombrowski thing. John Henry, yeah. Start negotiating in good faith. Open up the checkbook. Right? John Henry's the guy that has told us so many times that the pay structure in baseball is wrong, in that guys don't get the money in their prime years. They're getting it when they're older, and they're probably less deserving of it, right?
Yeah.
Well, here you go, John.
Now since the turn of the century.
Here's a perfect opportunity for you to pay a guy in his prime. So why don't you go ahead and do it and keep the player? Because really, at the end of the day, the Red Sox have no excuse not to have this guy.
No, and they really don't have that bona fide superstar. You know, that marketable guy where you say, boy, love this player. They have a bunch of good players. But nothing really draws you to that team. That was a frustrating part with that team that won last year. And I think that's why they became so jaded. They heard that stuff. They think they're good. But the rest of them aren't the same superstar category that this guy's in. You've got the guy. Keep him. Retain him.
I would
agree.
But
it's a sport. You got to pay money.
Got to keep him.
Right?
Got to keep him.
You know, you're not a crap market.
No. You're kidding me? The Red Sox have tons of money.
Yeah. This isn't
they're
San
one
Diego.
Of the big market
this
teams.
Is not San Diego. San Diego even paid Machado.
Even San Diego even is San spending Diego right now. Baseball, everybody has money. Paulie in the truck. Paulie.
Nice guy. great all-around, solid all-around ball player, defensively, offensively, during the regular season. You know, that's my problem. He wants to get paid top dollar. He is not producing the playoffs. Like a guy that wants that top money, he should be tearing the cover off the ball and the playoffs to cover the kind of
play. Sure, this isn't mass calling.
And that's—I'm sorry, those are the hot facts, boys. You know, when you go, you're negotiating for the team. You got to go in with those hot facts. Say that. Well, that's great. You know, remember what Red Auerbach said. You know, it's guys who are the clutch players when the money's on the table, when the game, when the season's on the line.
Yeah, it's okay, the only sport.
How'd Harper and Trout do in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's the only sport where actually I don't mind that you pay for the 162. Because there's 162 freaking games. Yeah. And those games and how you play over the 162 matter in a big way. They do. It's the only sport where if you go, by the way, over the course of time, Zoe, you'll find there's a lot of guys who didn't do a lot and do a lot of damage in the playoffs. Look at Yaz. I think if you go look at his numbers in the playoffs, not great.
Yeah.
Ted Williams, I think the same thing. And obviously those are throwback Red Sox players, but there are plenty of guys that you'd say, what are you, nuts? You don't want to pay that guy to keep him on your team? That may not be the best playoff performer. And I think, you know what I think part of it is in baseball? The ebb and flow of being a baseball player. You have ebbs and flows. You have streaks where you get real hot.
Right.
You have times where you cool down. And if you're what have I said in baseball in September? Don't get too hot. Too hot in September is a problem for October.
Too hot.
That can apply to players, too.
I think you're closer.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit. Just a little bit. Diddy is in Plainville with a...
Oh, man.
Is this... Who's
Diddy. Yeah.
Diddy?
Hey.
Yeah. Diddy in Plainville?
Diddy.
Jordy Nelson?
What's up, bud? I haven't seen you. I haven't heard from you.
How are you? Sweet Tiger. I think it's Siberian. That's sweet. So what's your guys' take on Jordy Nelson? I don't know if he's signed. I don't know if he's expensive, but I think for some reason he'd be great as a Patriot. Like him and Edelman, I think, could shred the defense. I don't want to hear your guys' take on Jordy.
I think he's got some miles on him now. I mean, he's a bigger guy than Edelman. He's a great route runner. I think he'd be perfect to play the X here. The Raiders caught him. Paid him $3 million. They're still interested.
He's about to turn 34.
Want to bring him back at a cheaper price. Now he's going around. I think he was in Seattle. Seattle's interested. New England's definitely interested. And you got to get your doctors around the guy and see what's the body like. You know, how many miles are on this guy? You know, Edelman's getting up there. You know, Gronkowski's 30 now. It's just, I mean, how many older guys you want to bring in? If I was going to bring in an older guy, I'd bring in Amendola. You know, but he went to Detroit. So. I'd take Cobb. Cobb and Nelson were pretty much the best of the rest. Crabtree's still out there, too. So, just what are you going to pay these guys?
All right.
That's something you have to worry about with Edelman.
I've got a thought on the tournament, if you want to hear it, if you don't mind.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've got a thought on this today. The games are about to get going.
Beatles hot
bit.
Take on the tourney?
It's a take.
It's a take, but it's still hot.
I don't know if it's a hot take.
Hey, well, then don't undersell it. Say, hey, it's a hell of a take.
You know what? I think it is a hell of a take.
Now, hey, there you go.
Now that you say it. Yeah, you often hear me be critical of BC.
Yeah, did they play today?
You don't often hear me be critical of my Minutemen. I'm going to go after both of them at the same time.
There you go.
You
I think
do
that's
that?
Fair. I think that's fair.
I'll do that next.
All right.
All right. Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
The champions of the Ivy League going to the NCAA tournament for the fifth time.
And for the seventh time in program history, the Vermont Catamounts are dancing their way to the NCAA tournament.
Brace, Osius, gonna dribble it out, and Northeastern's gonna do it. There it is, for the ninth time in school history, Northeastern is going to the NCAA tournament. The Huskies win the 2019 CAA Tournament Championship game.
Ah, Jim, thank you for putting those together. Those calls are appropriate, aren't they? They sound small time, just like their schools. Don't they? That's what you've got from New England. You've got Yale, Vermont.
Catamounts.
Love the Catamounts.
Love that.
Love them. Ah, Catamounts. What year, Jim, you'll remember, what year was it that the Catamounts went on a good run? I think they were in Worcester that year. That was like 15 years ago.
That was, what, 2005? TJ Sorrentine from the parking lot?
Yeah, Sorrentine. Thank you. From the parking lot.
Gus Johnson?
Maybe 2004. Might want to double check that.
Might have been. It was Jerry McNamara was the big player for Syracuse that year, I think.
Yes. Yes. Syracuse was in that regional as well at the Worcester Centrum. I think it was still the Centrum then.
Dude, that was the game. That was against Syracuse. He hit that long shot.
Yeah. That was like 15 years ago. All right. So Vermont's in. What was their coach's name? God, this is all coming back to me. I should have looked.
Tom Brennan.
Thank you. God, Jim has steel trap for a mind. Can't stand Jim. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was 2005, first round.
It was, okay. Their coach was likable. Their coach was likable.
There's a New England's version of Brad Stevens and Butler.
So Vermont is in, and you've got Yale in, and you've got locally, really locally, Northeastern is in the tournament. Okay. How much better would this be? And by the way, without looking, who's been in the tournament more recently, UMass or BC?
Oh, I'd say BC.
It's been a decade since Boston College has been in the tournament. It's been 5 years since UMass was in it.
Wow.
And that was 10 years after they had last been in it.
Yeah.
So.
That was after cleansing.
These are my issues.
What?
My issues are that the teams that, you know, there's actually people that give a damn about them. I mean, Northeastern, hey, I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for Northeastern today, but does Northeastern have, like, a great big following?
I mean, I'm rooting for them because I just found out T-Bone goes there, went there.
Yeah, I know.
I'm rooting for T-Bone.
Yeah, no, I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for Northeastern. Of course, I would love to see that upset. I would love to see.
Oh, I just love upsets. I'd love to see these big schools go down. Love it.
So I'm all about Northeastern winning. Okay, I think that would be fabulous. Yeah. I'm all for the fighting Adam Joneses of the world. Huh. Jones and Northeastern guy.
He went there, too?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. They got a kid on the team that went to my high school, so I got all kinds of reasons to root for them, right? So
yeah.
Go Northeastern. Where the hell is BC and where is UMass? Do you remember what the 90s were like with those teams? Those guys were in every year.
It should be easier for UMass to get in, right?
Well, they have an easier conference than they play
that's
in.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you got three number one seeds in the ACC.
They have an easier conference.
Wait a minute, I can't even keep track which schools and which
BC's in the ACC.
They're in the ACC. Yes. Okay, Jesus.
Yes. So UMass being in the A-10, which is another good basketball conference, has an easier path than BC.
Yeah, but you could get a team stacked and go on a run.
I just wish. And listen, and as much as the BC people hate me and vice versa, I would still rather you be in the tournament than not be in the tournament, okay?
Yeah.
I would.
Right.
I know it's hard for you to believe. All the nasty things I've said about you over the years. I know how much you hate me. It's fine. But I'd rather you be in. I'd rather there be a local angle to this thing every year.
Sure.
There's no local angle. I mean, you can't tell me that Northeastern is a local angle that people really are going to invest in.
No. No, it's like I remember growing up, it was Pitt Penn State as a kid. You root for them, and you watch college sports, and you root for college sports.
If BC was in.
If you're good, kids will watch it and root for
it. As much as this pains me to admit. Because I hate you all with the passion of a thousand suns.
That's a strong word.
I know I do. It'd be appointment viewing. You'd watch. Oh, BC game's on at 6 o'clock tonight. Well, I'm going to make sure we watch. Right? You'd watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather have them in at like 26-4 and be highly ranked, and I'd be rooting for the 12 seed to pop their ass tonight.
And by the way, I don't even
care. That would be dramatic for me. That would be fun to watch tonight.
I don't even need you to be a great team. I don't need you to be a 25. I just need you to win your conference tournament one every, 5 years and get into the thing. You go back to the 90s, though. I mean, it was a regular thing. UMass was in the tournament. You want this? You ready for this?
Yeah.
You want the data behind this? 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98. Okay? That was the UMass element and obviously the peak of the program in the 90s. Boston College was in 94, 96, 97, 2001, 2002, 2004, 2005,
remember 2006. Remember when Dudley was there? When was Dudley?
2007, 2000. What year was this? 2009. That was the last time they were in.
So
10 years ago.
You need to tell me that Dudley's had been. It's been 10 years since Dudley's been there.
More than 10 years.
Jesus.
But all those years.
Yeah.
Sprinkled throughout the 90s, the 2000s, they were in it all the time. What the hell happened? One of these two programs needs to get off its ass.
Can't recruit.
Is my point.
Can't recruit with the big boys.
I need one of these two teams to get into this thing. So I can either, of course, root for my guys with their coach who won't stop talking about being Billy Donovan's ball boy. And then you got Jim Christian at the other school who they're keeping for some reason. Why? I don't know. They're keeping him around. They went backwards this year. They were below 500 too. I'm just sort of tired of the two teams that people in this state actually care about sucking. That's what I'm tired of. I'm tired of both of them sucking. I need someone to be good.
There's no pulse on the college scene. There really isn't.
Zero.
Zero.
Zero. So you get to this day.
You remember when Harvard, remember when Amaker's at Harvard? At least Harvard got in. And like that was a cool story, but it never stuck. You know, it wasn't like, okay, we're going to do this for the next 10 years. Yeah, that's flash in the pan type thing. There's just no juice to the college sports. There isn't here.
None.
Anywhere.
None. I wish we would get to this day.
Even when,
and
even,
have a real
even when PC had those
strong,
two guards and they went deep, you know, they get in and they're going to go and make some noise.
So Northeastern's like at 4 o'clock today. I'm going to watch for the local part of it.
God, they got Kansas.
But I like college hoops.
Kansas?
Yeah. That could knock him off. I'm not ruling him out. I'm not ruling out the upset. It's unlikely, but I don't think it's impossible. Some of these games this weekend, I think it's impossible for the upsets. But this isn't one of them. Yeah, I'm just getting tired of that. I need one of these teams to be good. I do. I would prefer my team to be good again. But I just would feel better if we could get to this weekend every year and there would be some real rooting interest locally that wanted to pay attention to the tournament. Not because of their stupid bracket. The brackets. Okay? That trash.
Stop it. That's Richie's bracket.
Or their bets, but because they actually had a team that they could follow a little bit locally and pay attention to and maybe make it out to a game a year, two games a year, and have some real rooting interest in. And hell, even when Providence gets in, it's pretty much a Providence thing, but at least it's something.
But at least it feels like it's big-time basketball when they get in.
Yeah, but when they get in, they get in as an 11 seed. That's not the same. You need like a team to get in like the 3 or 4 seed to really make it.
Oh, no. 11 seed is fine. 11 seed is fine.
Beetle take a
play. I don't care about what seed they are.
Right,
I don't care about the seed. No. Just get in. Get in again. Please. It's been long enough. It's been a decade for BC. It's been 5 years for UMass. And there have been a lot of bad years in there for UMass, too. But those are the teams that I think, basketball-wise, people inside of 128 actually, or we'll say 495, actually care about collegiately.
Yeah.
They do. So I'm hoping for it. I just wish we could get to this weekend and have one of those angles, but we don't. So I'm bitter about that.
So I root for Zion.
I'm bitter about it.
That's what I watch the tournament
for. I want to go back to the 90s. I want to go back to the Commonwealth Classic at the Garden.
What?
You don't remember those days, though. You didn't care about that stuff. I did.
That stuff. I went to Whole Ants.
Of course you did. You thought it was the only place in town.
The only place in Boston.
So that's my gripe on the tournament today. Here we are again.
I think it's a legit gripe.
Once again,
legitimate gripe.
I'm disappointed.
It's a good gripe. It's a good gripe. Because we do live in a great sport area where people love sports, and it's year-round, and it's all four seasons. And yet you can't get competitive college basketball. It sucks.
617-779-0985. I promise we'll go back to your calls
right after this. Or football for that, too.
What?
Or football for that, too.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Almost heaven, West Virginia. Blue Ridge Mountains.
All right, why are we playing this now?
Get it ready. Get it ready. I love to hear this at Gillette, boy. Will Greer had his pro day today. Adam Schefter, one NFL scout down in Morgantown, West Virginia, just texted me and said that Will Greer, quote unquote, put on a show.
Someone, okay, texted him from the
actual workout.
Okay.
Ton of teams in attendance. Greer is shooting up draft boards as we speak. He's expected to meet with at least 10 teams prior to the draft, including those teams, the Giants, the Redskins, the Chargers, the Saints, and the Patriots.
Oh.
Zo's boy.
That's your guy.
Love him.
This is your guy, dude.
My guy.
You've been all over this guy.
Yeah.
Since the very beginning.
Yeah. Like to get this guy and get him groomed. Yeah.
Well, that's
yes.
good.
Yes, yes.
It's good and it's bad.
I say yes.
It's good that he's performing and he's putting on a show.
Well, he can throw.
Because he's legit. It's bad because now more teams are going to be aware of it. It's not going to be sneaky pick. It's not going to be a sneaky good pick anymore.
Well, it's a sneaky good pick in round two. It's not a sneaky good pick in round one.
Right.
This is a heavy, heavy defensive draft. So
you think he could still be around at the bottom of the second round?
Say Kyler Murray goes number one. Or if they're smart, I'd load up on defense if I'm Arizona, based on that division that you're playing. Let him fall to the stupid Raiders. Let them take him. And then the quarterbacks that are ranked ahead of him, the kid from Duke, Haskins worked out yesterday. People are going to take a risk on him. I don't think he's as good as Greer. I know the numbers are there for him. He played at Ohio State, played at a high level, only played really 1 year. Who's that? Who else is out there? The kid from Missouri, Drew Locke, the kid from Wazoo. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are pretty decent quarterbacks that played 3-4 years in college. But I think this kid, and I watch a lot of his games, he can make all the throws. He can play. He's tough. He sits in the pocket. He takes a shot. And I just like the way he talked prior to the combine. You know, talking about this is how we do things, the amount of film we watched on Brady. We like to apply some things. We had some issues getting guys open on some rub routes. And it was a whip thing. It was cutting down the splits. Stuff you don't hear from Kyler Murray. That's all. So just seems like, okay, he's played in a pro-style offense. And Dana Holgorsen is tight with Belichick. So,
yep.
In fact, you don't see like him there with his arms crossed with Holgorsen at his pro day where, hey, I'm down here, roll tide. You know, let's go down to Alabama.
Roll tide.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Will could fall to the second round, and he could be there for you.
Okay. We'll see if he does. I got a correction to make. I mentioned earlier.
I do, too. Real quick. Randall Cobb signed with the freaking Cowboys 1 year.
When did you mention Randall Cobb?
I mentioned him. We were talking Jordy Nelson.
Oh, I didn't even realize you
said that. And I said, Crabtree's still out there. I mentioned Cobb. I can't keep up with these damn guys. Yeah.
Cobb's gone.
That's on me.
I was talking earlier about Red Sox players who were great players yet don't have great postseason track records. I thought Yaz was one of them for some reason. He is definitely not.
Yeah.
Gareman, too, emailed in. Appreciate that correction.
Gareman.
Batted over 400 with 3 home runs in 67. Productive in the 75 ALCS and World Series. I was right about Ted Williams. He didn't have a great postseason track record. Jim Rice also didn't. Broke his hand in 75, so he didn't play in the CS or the World Series. And by the time 86 rolled around, he was not – I mean, he wasn't in the prime years of his career. But he – in 80 – let's see. Hold on. I'll tell you right now. Yeah, 369 career postseason average for Yaz. He was terrific. For Jim Rice, it was 225. Batted 154 in the ALCS in 88. 188 in the ALCS in 86. Did a good job in the 86 World Series, but overall, 225 in the playoffs. Not terrific. Not his normal best self.
Yeah.
But do you want him on your team? You're damn right you do. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And again, limited sample. The same way it's limited sample right now for Mookie Betts.
All right.
Yeah, I want that guy on the team.
Plus, again.
I don't care. I'm not going to hold the playoff stuff against him.
The thing with
not
going to
do it.
I don't care. The thing with Betts is... He can play in this market.
Yes.
He can play in a tough, tough market to play in. So why?
Who doesn't like Mookie Betts? Find me someone who doesn't like
California kid that's going to get bugged because, oh, you're asking too many hard questions here in Boston. Plus, he's stamped. He's a winner. He's a winner. Excuse me.
All right, we got phone lines. We're going to get some of these calls.
Oh.
Spencer in Boston says, disrespecting the University of Vermont. How so, Spencer?
What's up, Spencer?
Beetle, you ought to be disappointed in yourself. Real quick here,
why?
The year was 2005. Coach Tom Brennan, TJ Sorrentine, in St. Johnsbury, Vermont, best basketball product of all time, Taylor Copperath, shocked the world.
Copperath.
We're going to do it again.
Copperath, right. That's a good Copperath. Thanks for calling. Thank you for calling.
The Duncan brothers and Anthony Lamb are going to shock the world. Go catch, go pack the gut.
That's how we disrespected them. Not because we didn't give this year's team enough respect.
Copperath. Remember that
name? Because we didn't give the 2004,
I remember that name now.
2005 team enough respect. Oh, that was a memorable little run.
There's nothing like those teams, too.
Vermont.
They had the normal like tank top uniforms, but they put the T-shirts underneath, just the baggy, you know, champion T-shirts under it, a dark T-shirt. Just looking like a middle school team going and playing in the big gyms. Those are fun. Those are fun games to watch.
TJ Sorrentine. Oh, I got to pull that up and watch that right now. That's the kind of day it is. We're talking Vermont. That's what we're doing. We're talking.
It's like those little type of players, too. It's like the Bobby Hurleys. They're the ones that make you like Duke. Yeah, that's when I started like getting
it. Watch this shot. You ready for this, though?
Yeah, yeah.
Watch this.
Here, show Richie.
Richie, watch.
Richie, look at that one.
Ah!
Oh! look at the crowd. Look at the crowd going nuts.
It was not the Centrum. It was the DCU Center.
Fundamental.
Oh! My goodness! Sorrentine! Yes. Hit that one from the parking lot!
Yep.
From the parking lot.
Took a 4-point lead with about a minute to go in overtime. Oh, it was great. Chris in Arlington. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Good.
I think all of basketball, including college and NBA, is garbage now. You guys were talking about college basketball, and once you came back from the break, haven't mentioned college basketball at all.
Yeah, we never talk it.
We just spent an entire segment, over 10 minutes talking about
it. He bitched about local teams not being in it.
Yeah, local teams, but the whole sport, drive down the lane and move out of the way.
That's the best call we ever had.
Okay, so he doesn't like basketball. Where's the value in that call?
Drive down the lane, move out of the way.
That call sucks.
Call back, please.
Oh my God.
I want more calls like that.
John in Worcester. Hey, John.
Hey, you got me?
Yes.
Hey.
All right.
Is basketball garbage?
You like basketball.
Is basketball garbage?
I love basketball, man.
Richie
and
likes it,
I
too.
I love Worcester, too. So you know I love Tommy Heinsohn. And I worked at Bob Cousy's house a few times, and he loves Tommy. So I think that Marcus Smart, it shines a good light on Tommy with the referees, man. Marcus did it that because
like
he was so mad at
Maine.
The refs. Am
so
I
Blair,
right?
Blair from Maine. Blair from Maine called Big Jim and Jones yesterday. It's pretty good.
Was it?
It's me, Blair. Hey, guys. Same stuff.
Dan in Boston, also on College Hoops. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. Hey. You know, you couldn't be more right about the non-dialogue. I couldn't be more excited back when 2005 you had BC going up against Texas and Kevin Durant. I think it was a Sweet 16 game or an Elite 8 game or going into the Elite 8. You know, you had Craig Smith, who was like BC's version of Ben Wallace.
That's right.
And yeah. you had that
He's
guy owning
boy.
The paint.
Strong.
It was like there was like 5 minutes left in the second half of that game. I think we were down one or two possessions. You know, that was an exciting time, and that's completely gone. And, Beetle, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
When did it actually happen that, like, BC sports just crawled under everybody's skin? Like, you know, I remember Matt Hasselbeck making things fun, and, you know, we obviously went to some pretty good bowl games. Yeah, some crappy ones, too. But, you know, those times back in the 90s and 1000s, everybody seemed to root for him.
Post Coughlin. You know, no, it's a good question. Good question. I think post Tom Coughlin. Because now right? You got a guy in there talks about, we're going to be a ball coach. We're going to be tough. We're going to watch film. Could come down over the hill to do a half hour of BC football, trying to give it some ups.
Oh. I never turned. I've always been anti-BC.
I haven't.
I never had a turn.
I haven't. Almost. I visited BC. Remember Timmy Bell and those guys?
But I will hate watch you all day long.
Camp House.
All day long. It's more fun that way.
Yeah.
It's more fun.
Glenn Foley. I think right around after Foley and Coughlin. After that, just went right downhill.
Craig Smith, he was man.
Jack Picknell was
that
there
dude
before
was strong.
Him, right? Yeah,
a good player.
Craig good Smith, player. He's a big dude. Man.
He was a good player. Fun
see,
to watch.
Memorable.
See, I don't like
but
you
see,
guys,
but
and
no.
I still will tell you when you
but
got
that,
a good player.
Those are memorable teams and memorable guys you'd watch. They haven't had that.
Troy Bell back in the day.
Yeah,
he was a fun player to watch. You know, there's all kinds of guys.
Yeah,
but whatever. Nah, you know, we're just gonna. The local teams that anyone cares about are just going to continue to suck, apparently. That's what we're going to have to deal with.
Who's this team right here?
Who?
They look tired.
Minnesota?
Louisville. I hope it's not. Louisville's the 7. Minnesota's the 10.
No, that's Louisville.
It's a 10-7? Boy, Louisville looks tired.
Bill Murray looks tired.
Clock shooting cold. First half unders.
Bill Murray looks tired,
you taking all the unders,
and
Chip?
He's at the game.
All the unders in the first games, yes.
Yeah. All the unders.
All the unders.
Tired teams.